sees your needs.
Yeah.
Just keep standing.
Keep standing. Keep standing.
Lady, in the midnight hour.
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna turn it all around.
Yes, he will.
If you just keep standing.
If you hold on.
Standing. Or you can come through.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. Angels in heaven done sign my name. Everybody say I. Let me hear you. Know I've been. Do I have a witness? Everybody. Yeah. No, I've been changed. Angels in heaven sign my name. If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, hear me. Oh, follow me down to Jordan Stream. Come on. Remember this, remember this. I stepped in the water. The water was cold. Oh, it chilled my body, but not my soul. Come on. Everybody. Everybody say, let me hear you. Do I have a witness? Everybody here been changed. If you know you've been changed, look your neighbor in the face and tell them, I know. Now, y'all missed it. I said, look your neighbor right in the face. Tell them, I'm not perfect yet. Tell your neighbor, I've made some mistakes. Go ahead. Tell your neighbor, I've done some stuff wrong. Tell them, I know. Wait a minute. Use your preaching voice. Look at your neighbor. Say, I've done a lot of bad stuff in my life. Go ahead. Say, I've made some mistakes in my life, but I'm not the person I used to be. Now this time, look him in the face. Use your preacher's voice. Tell him, I know. Tell him, I know. Yeah. I'm trying to preach. I feel God have some. Woo, touch your neighbor. Say, you don't know me like that. Go ahead. Say, you don't know who I used to date. Go ahead. You don't know who I was married to. Tell your neighbor. You don't know some stuff I've done. I am not the person I want to be yet. But I know I've been changed. Psalm 73. God changed your life. You act like God made a way. I'm trying to go to Psalm 73. Tell your neighbor, you don't know like I know. Go ahead. Tell him, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Take 30 seconds and act like you've been changed. 1, 2, 3, then. Psalm 73. I'm trying to read my text, y'all. I don't know who the Lord has changed your life, changed your family, changed your money. Go and push three people. Say, I know I've been changed. Go ahead. I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. We got guests, everybody. Psalm 73. Come on, act like you got some home training. You acting like God paid your house note and your gas note. No, you acting like God brought you back from prison. You acting like God kept cancer out your body. You acting like God gave you another chance. You acting like God saved your daughter and protected your children. Stop, Psalm. Psalm 73, verse 16. Y'all not gonna stop, so I'm just gonna start. You're not gonna stop, so I'm just gonna start. Well, since you're shouting, just shout on the word. Still, when I tried to figure it out, all I got was a splitting headache. Until I went to church. Then I saw the whole picture. I was trying to figure out how you can raise children right and they go wrong. I was trying to figure out how you can love a man unreservedly and he don't even see you.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how you could tithe and live right and still have no money. I was going through some stuff. Watch this. It's on the screen. Until I went... Verse 16 is on the screen. Until I went to church, then I saw the whole picture. I don't know if you'll like this subject or not, but it's still true. Push three people and tell them, go crazy or go to church. I said, push three people, tell them, go crazy or go to church. Take your seats in the Lord's house. Thank you for not walking, not talking, not texting. Just stay with your boy a few moments, because I think this word is going to help somebody in desperate moment clarity. And so we're in this teaching, this little short celebration teaching titled, I Love My Church. I said last week, and at the risk of being redundant, I will repeat, there are thousands of persons, if not millions, who attend churches every weekend they don't like. There's just a kind of loyalty there, I told you, because of hatching, matching, and dispatching. Hatching, Reverend Buckwheat blessed my daughter when she was born. Matching, Reverend Buckwheat married my mother and father. Dispatching, Reverend Buckwheat said the last words over my grandmother before they dispatched her to the cemetery. Hatching, matching, and dispatching. So there becomes a kind of family loyalty, which I respect. But sadly, you'd be surprised how many people show up at a church expecting no sermon that speaks to them. They show up at a place, watch this, that they go to but would not invite any guests to come to. You want to trip on something? I can't tell you how many people have told me. My grandson got saved. I told him, go to the Word Church. Didn't want their grandson to go to their church because somehow they thought the Word that would be relevant. That it would be a true word, but not a relevantly true word. Not a word that spoke to him where he was, you know, where he was. And so all of a sudden, it's like, well, go. You'd be surprised how many people go to churches on a weekly basis they don't like. It's a blessing to come to a church you love. Where you have to park in parking lot D and sit in 33A. And fight through traffic on the way out that needs police and sheriffs just to get off the street, when you could go to a place where there's no cars and you can lay on the pew. And yet you fight into this crowded space prayerfully because God speaks to you when you get here. It is a blessing to go to a church you like. Humbly, I say this is one of 8 services this weekend in 3 places. God is up to something in this place. What's wrong with church spirit? If there can be school spirit and frat spirit, certainly there can be church spirit. I love my church. This is not a series I would preach all the time. It's about Jesus here. But what's wrong with thanking God for the place and space that I frequent twice a week and bring my woman and my family to? And I like it. I love this particular Asaph psalm. Why did I say Asaph? Because a cat named Asaph wrote the 73rd Psalm. Be careful saying, and David said, yes, most psalms are Davidic, but not all of them. Moses wrote a couple, and David writes most of them, but Asaph writes this 73rd Psalm. Don't say David said. If you're not sure, just say the psalmist says. Why do I like the 73rd Psalm? Because to me, it bespeaks the reality of many people's existential plight. Sometime you be tripping. No doubt about it, God is good, but I nearly missed it, seeing it. I was looking the other way, looking up to people. Now y'all missed your first shout, because you know what I love about Asaph? He says, I'm getting ready to go off for 10 verses on how mad I am at God. But before I start talking about how mad I am at him, let me tell you, he's still good. Somebody missed that. I'm tripping, but he's good. My whole family crazy, but he's good. Everything wrong in my life, but he's good. How do you know when you've matured? Because you don't let what your man did make you hate God. You pick the man, But lean on somebody and say, but God picked me. Praise God. Yeah, can I suggest to all of you, you'd be surprised how many people quit church because life happened based on choices they made. Now they're through with church, through with God, through with the preacher. No, I like Asaph. He says, I'm tripping now, but let you see my humanity in my Christianity. He says, I'm tripping, but surely God is good. I need some people that stuff is bad right now, and you have the unmitigated gall, the unusual audacity on a Sunday morning when everything's a trip to throw your hands up and say, he's a good God. Yes, he is. I may not understand everything, but he is a good God. He says, but I almost missed it looking at people. What was the issue? Great crowd, by the way. Look at verse 5. You'll see what I'm talking about. Look at it. It's on the screens because he says verses 4 and 5. At the top, envy and the wicked who've had it made, who have nothing to worry about, not a care in the whole wide world. Can I tell you what Asaph is doing? He hating. He hating on people who got a lot and don't even love God. He's being honest. He's like, I'm looking at people who don't even go after God. They're doing better than me. Pastor, are you hating on Asaph? No, because I remember I had a hater day. I had one a couple weeks ago because I'm looking at ESPN and I'm looking at a cat that's getting $80 million in the NBA and can't even shoot. I'm like, I can set a pick and shoot 3 threes per game and play a little D and 3. Just give me $2 million. I'll be fine. Praise God. You're going to give him $120 million? I'm hating. I'm sorry, NBA players. I'm hating. Because I'm thinking, honestly, have you ever had a moment, tell the truth, where you looked at people who weren't even trying to be right and saw they were doing better than you, and the enemy tiptoed through the corridors of your cognitive domain and had you tripping and wondering, is it even worth it? Asaph says, I was tripping because persons who aren't right are getting more than me. You'd be surprised how many people the enemy tries to speak to and change your disposition about your position. I'll be there in just a minute. You'll see what I'm talking about. Asaph says, I'm tripping. Some of you, okay, let me bring it right to where you are so you don't start FaceTiming on me, getting on Facebook, y'all look at me, because I want you to trip on this. Have you ever, there's some single woman, you'll raise your hand, I'm going to bust you in the head. Here you are, still got a cute shape, and a middle-aged, millennial, older woman, but still cute. Lean on somebody, say, I'm old, but I'm cute. Go ahead, somebody 50. 50 and over, lean on somebody, say, I'm old, but I'm cute. I'm old, but I'm cute. Praise God. But here you are, keeping yourself together, watch this, not letting nobody touch you, and you're human, you have anthropological attractions, but you love God so much that you want his spirit more than a feeling. So here you are trying to keep yourself. Conversely, one of your coworkers, watch this now, she sleep with everybody, and she got degrees, she ain't never got pregnant, she got a good car, she's doing well, got her own apartment, she sleep with 3 men a day and never get pregnant. You slept with 1 man and had triplets, praise God, you just... and didn't even like them. And now you have triplets by a man who's ugly, broken, unsaved. She slept with 3 men, had no babies. You slept with 1 man one night and had 3 babies 9 months later. Just doesn't seem fair. Asaph says, I had a lot on my mind. But can I tell y'all this? I thank you, Asaph, but you do not have the right to track this text in your context. Because Asaph, that's your issues. I'm preaching in 2019 in Cleveland, Ohio, to thousands of persons and millions by television who got their own issues. And maybe your issue is not hating. Maybe your issue is your one daughter. Maybe your issue is the fact that I'm married to somebody who I don't know what to do because God tells me I can't leave. But if I stay, I feel like I'm losing it. I got a splitting headache. I pray about going home. It's a mess when you got to pray about going home, when you got to sit in your driveway and say, Lord, give me the strength to go in my house. It's a trip when you got to pray before you go home and say, Lord, just give me this. You'd be surprised who's sitting here. Some man said, I'm working hard, I'm tithing, I'm living right. My dudes are doing whatever they want to do. Dudes I used to kick it with, it seems like they're doing better. He says, I'm tripping. There are persons in this room who may have come to church. That's why I like the Psalms, because the Psalms let me see people feeling real stuff. Don't take the humanity out my Christianity. Sometime I'm just having an Asaph moment. You'd be surprised who walks in. I told the elders, let's work together about finding a place and space in our service where even good people, elders, saved people, tongue-talking, breathing, loving Jesus people, because I love God, don't mean I'm not having a week. Let our church always be a soft place to land. Don't question my Christianity because of my present humanity. I'm just having a moment. Asaph says, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not gonna lie. When I saw what was going on and how I'm trying my best, I want you to look at the next verse. It's gonna bless you because notice what he says. He says, what's going on here? Is God out to lunch? Nobody's tending the story. Don't you love Eugene Peterson's message version? It takes some Hebraic liberty exegetically. So make sure you read the NRSV and the NASB, or even King James if you want sort of the original translation. But I do want you to catch this because it's practical, but it's powerful. He says, is God out to lunch? All these people doing wrong, piling up riches. Here it is. I've been stupid to play by the rules. What has it gotten me? That's why. Y'all pray for me. I know you can hear a little raspy in my voice, but sometimes you got to play hurt. And I almost gave this sermon away to one of my sons or daughters, but I said, I'm playing hurt this weekend because somebody came here who need this word. And y'all look at Pastor, because the Bible says my mother-in-law, when I first married that pretty daughter of hers, she'd been telling me something for over 20 years that I thought was old fogey when I first met her. The older I get, the more I believe her. She says, baby, living right will pay off. I don't know who I came to preach to. I don't know who's in college. I don't know who's a millennial. I don't know what woman here been coming for 15 years, still haven't met nobody you want to meet, don't have the money you want. I don't know what man has given up a lot and goes home to a woman who still talks to him like he's a child when he can have anybody he wants, but yet he's determined to come to church and keep loving and praying and being steadfast, unmovable. I got a word for everybody. Be not weary in well-doing. Let's have church. In due season, you shall reap. Watch this. If you don't give up, King James, faint not. I got a word for everybody here. Living right does pay off. Christianity is not magic. Because I'm having some stuff in my life, God doesn't move every bad thing as fast as I want him to move it. But I'm a living witness that if you serve God, I'm tired of being falsely humble. I'm too old to play. All I'm doing is what I've been doing all my life. And I tell young people, this is not so much for older people. This is for millennials and young people. I am telling you, every time I came to church with my Bible, every time I went to English class and put my Bible on the desk, there was no phones in 1988, 89. I put my big Bible on the desk and set it in study hall and set it at the lunch table and walked around with it saying, Lord, who you want me to get saved in my school today? And all of them would say, Ray, it's crazy. Church boy, church boy. Look at your neighbor saying, now they watch my pastor on TV. Praise God. Amen. Who really crazy? Can I tell all of you, with all the mistakes I've made, hold on to Jesus is the best thing I've ever done in my life. And don't let nobody tell you that living right. But that said, God bless you. That said, Asaph says, I was going mental. He said, I had a splitting headache. Yeah. I think to colloquialize it, I think to modernize it and bring it from antiquity to modernity, he was saying, I was in nervous breakdown territory. I was tripping so bad, I was contemplating going back to people that was good in the bed but no good for my head. I was tripping so much, I was contemplating putting stuff back in my body that used to make me steal from my mama. I was contemplating doing some stuff that's beneath me. Yeah, you'd be surprised what went through my mind that week. He ain't paying me no attention. He think, don't nobody else want me. You'd be surprised what was going through my mind. I was having one of them kind of weeks. Let's tear the church up. But the next verse says, until I went to church. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here. You didn't think I was going to leave you right there. He says, until I went to church. He says, the enemy had me right where he wanted me, but he made a mistake and let me wake up this morning and put my shoes on and get in my car and come down East 55th Street, come down South Miles. He let me go to church. There is something about church. There is something about coming here communing. I'm looking at women back there holding babies. Matter of fact, take them to the nursery because let them learn like you learn and take them to the nursery next weekend. But I'm looking at you holding babies and had to get them dressed, and this is one of your two off days. Got to be at work in the morning and get them dressed into the nursery and to kindergarten. Why would anybody go through all of this unless there's something in here that's better than your house? Don't let nobody minimize church. Rumors of the church's demise are highly exaggerated. Oh yeah, you know they're saying 70% of churches are in decline, and based on social media and based on online and based on millennial thought and ethos. 10 years from now, church will be empty because millennials not going to church. They got their phones. No, Jesus said, upon this rock, y'all gonna make me jump off this stage. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I guess all I'm trying to say, my little theological thesis is this: church is important. I'm not just talking to grandma. Grandma know it already. She's lived long enough. I'm really honestly talking to people who 20, 30, 19, 24. Don't let nobody tell you middle age. Church is not. Now, the right church is critical, because the wrong church will make you think worse about God. I was at a funeral. Y'all pray for me. I'm not changing my mind. I'm selfish. I want all funerals here. I wish we had more staff and more sanctuary. Sometimes we're doing 2 funerals a day, because every time somebody gets shot, call the Word Church. Pastor Vernon to do it. We're the city's church. And I went to this funeral. I'm serious. And God bless the preacher. He meant well. And the young cats sitting there, and the nephews and the cousins. And here it is, mama dead, auntie dead, sister dead. And God bless them. But what he was saying, I'm sitting there like, oh, man, this ain't going to grab them. You're going to have to say something they can feel, player. You can't be up here doing your normal little preacher thing, because they already tripping and want to get high and killed whoever killed their cousin. So you have to say something real, or they going to walk out of here like, that's why I don't go to church. No, no, no. If you go to the right church, church will keep you from going crazy. Next time your coworkers hate on your church, look at them and say, y'all better be glad I go to church. That's the only reason I ain't cussed all y'all. I'll be glad I go to church. Because you know how to cut you, and I'd have been pulled your little fake weave out, and you don't say none of that. That's not God. I got to go. Let me give you 3 reasons why I go to church, why I love my church, and hopefully you love your church. Number one, I love my church because of its correction. I love my church, I do, because of its correction, because it gives me correction. And here's something powerful. I'll preach better next time. Anybody, you getting somebody this race? And here's something powerful. Those in the overflow watching me online downtown, look at me. Say correction. Correction. Everybody needs some correction. Pastor, I am old enough to be your mother. And grandma said a child can teach you something. Correction. Say correction. Let me see who concurs here. Immaturity hates correction. Maturity craves it. That's good. Did you hear that, Quincy? Immaturity. I better get this shout out now. Y'all see I got on black and gold. I'm not an alpha, but I'm one in my heart. Praise God. Amen. My son and his dudes, they crossed. Come on, stand up, Alpha Phi Alpha. They crossed. Stand up, Alpha Phi Alpha. Would y'all stand? They all put the camera on them quick. Hit them, hit them, hit them. Get the camera on them. There they go. They crossed, and I'm proud of them and all that. And so, of course, the kind of father I am, if any of my kids doing anything, I'm there. If it's positive, I'm wearing their colors. I can't wait to change my name to I'm their father. You don't believe me. Let any of them do anything, I'll be on the front row. I'm with them. Are you Pastor Vernon? Nope, I'm their father. I'm Shanae's father. I'm Dominic's dad. I'm Ray's dad. I'm Ralph's dad. I'm their father. Their parents who know what I feel. And so we're there at the step show and the crossing. And they, I'm ready. I'm ready. Look at my woman. Go, baby. It's your birthday. Go, frat. Go, frat. I'm sorry. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. So they step in and cross in, and I'm crying, you know, and I know many of you may have, whatever you feel about Greek fraternity and all of that, just to see them do something positive, knowing what they stood for, what they went through, their stick-to-itiveness. I was proud of them going through their first real challenge and finishing something. Finish something. This is the first thing He kind of did outside of me. Became the first alpha man in our family. All that. So they all cross and I'm happy. And then the MC gonna say, afterwards, the after party is gonna be at Chicken and Waffles.